May I be seated?
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Tensions were at their peak. The Feast of Booths was coming to an end. Jesus had appeared in the temple and was teaching the Jewish pilgrims that were getting ready for their trip home. Among his teachings, perhaps the most controversial, were two of his sayings. First, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. From John chapter 7. And earlier in John chapter 8, the second saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. These claims of Jesus elevated him above any of the Jews' other teachers, including the prophets. For none of them had ever claimed to be the source of living waters, and none had stated that they themselves were the light of the world. Such claims belonged only to one, Yahweh God. The debate ended with our gospel reading for today. In it, we find the Jews mocking Jesus for his claim that Abraham had seen Jesus and rejoiced. They reasoned that Jesus was barely old enough to be a rabbi, and yet he claimed to be present with Abraham, their father, hundreds of years before. With a stringent jab, they asked, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? They could hardly keep their skepticism in check from bursting forth into laughter. Calmly, confidently, Jesus replied with his emphatic formula, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. The results? The Jews picked up stones to throw at him. Because his hour had not yet come, Jesus hid himself from them and left. That the Jews picked up stones to throw at Jesus is testimony that they wanted him dead. The tension in the temple had led to utter animosity toward Jesus, with them so enraged that they desired his destruction. Jesus' claim was clear. He is one with Yahweh God. Now, he never utters the exact words, I am God, for Jesus does not consider equality with God something to be grasped, nor does he seek to glorify himself. But here he is, one word short, I am. And of all these teachings in John, lead the Jews and all who read the words to conclude that truth. Jesus, the Son of God, is one with the Father. Jesus is God. Jesus has made it clear in his speaking that he is claiming oneness with God, with the Son of God. Not claiming it as though he doesn't already have it, but simply announcing that reality. The Jews do not argue that there is indeed a Son of God, a second person of the Trinity that bears that name. Rather, they cannot accept the claim of Jesus that he is that Son, and that this man before them, standing in their own midst, is Yahweh God. this concept of Yahweh God being triune, that is, three in one, is nothing new. Or at least it should not be. That is because the triune identity of God, as it is clearly taught in the New Testament, is truly present in the Old Testament. The creation account has always included the truth that God created all things through His Word, which is His Son, and that the Spirit was present, hovering over the surface of the waters. When God speaks to create mankind, He says, "Let us make man in our own image." And we heard just last week with the story of the Tower of Babel, God say, "Let us go down and confuse their language." In the Hebrew language, the word translated for the one true God is always in the plural form. And the benediction spoken by Aaron, the high priest, is threefold, along with the holies spoken by the seraphim in Isaiah chapter 6. This all points to the presence of the three persons in the identity of Yahweh God. As mentioned before, the Spirit of God was present at creation, hovering over the surface of the waters. Numerous times, the Old Testament testifies to the Spirit of God filling God's chosen people. And of those, at least two are very well known and should stick out in our minds. The first is when David prays in Psalm 51, "Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." The second is from Isaiah 61, to which Christ directs the questioning John the Baptizer. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." The Spirit, as the third person of the Trinity, is readily present throughout the Old Testament. Finally, on to the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God. When understood as the Word spoken by God, as taught by the Apostle John in his Gospel, we see the Son of God present everywhere that the Word of God is spoken. Add to that a certain belief that the church has held from its earliest days. That belief is that the identity of the angel of the Lord, who appears at key moments throughout the Old Testament, he is the Son of God Himself. The clearest evidences of this belief come early on in Israel's history. The first is from Genesis chapter 22. For there the angel of the Lord appears to Abraham as he is about to sacrifice his only son. God had commanded Abraham to sacrifice Isaac to him. And the angel of the Lord appears and announces that he then knew that Abraham would not withhold his son, his only son, from him. God present there. Following that, the angel of the Lord himself announces the great blessing with which he will bless Abraham as God. The second evidence of the identity of the angel of the Lord is found in Exodus chapter 3. Where the angel of the Lord appears to Moses in the burning bush. He announces to Moses that he, present in the burning bush, is the God of his forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The conclusion drawn by the church for centuries is that the angel of the Lord, the messenger who speaks as God would speak, is truly God Himself. in the person of God the Son. It is that Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, that has taken on our nature, the nature of mankind, in the person of Jesus Christ. It is this person we find in the temple at the Feast of Booths, proclaiming oneness with God. Jesus, the Son of God, the angel of the Lord is He, sent by God to fulfill the plan of salvation for us, for all mankind. He is the one promised long ago to be the anointed one with the Spirit, to preach good news to us who are poor in spirit, to set we who are the captives to sin and death free by His own death on the cross for all sinners. And in full support of this great work of salvation for all mankind is each person of the triune God. The Father sent the Son, who was anointed with the Spirit, an event seen clearly at Christ's baptism. Jesus Christ then executed the plan of salvation flawlessly, securing life forever with God for all those who trust in Him. To bring about this very end, the Holy Trinity has established gracious means, the Word and the sacraments. And everyone who receives these means by faith has the triune God present with him, even as the Holy Trinity is pleased to dwell within His church, purchased and won by the blood of Christ Jesus, our Lord. What a privilege it is, then, to celebrate the Holy Trinity, our one God, now and forever. Amen. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.